Welcome to the Kingdom Faith Podcast with me, Colin Squires.
Me, Pete Norman.
And Jake Isaac. Me, Jake Isaac.
With you, Jake Isaac, our special guest. But this is not just an extraordinary worship podcast because of our special guest. It is also extraordinary because we are here live, almost, at Faith Camp 2017.
Come on.
Whee!
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And so we've got a very special show for you today, because normally we're talking about all the things that make worship tick in churches. How does that work? How do we see like that just work in a great way? But today we wanted to take the opportunity to hear from the legend that is Jake Isaac, and find out a bit about Jake. What is it that you do? What's God called you to? All these important questions. But first, we need to know. We ask everybody, all our special guests, this. What is the most embarrassing and or awkward moment you've ever experienced in worship? Over to Jake.
The most embarrassing thing in worship, leading worship, must be, maybe singing the lyrics to a completely different song than what everyone else is reading on a screen. Yeah, totally. I didn't realise there was two versions of the song, and I had up on the screen, well, they had up on the screen one version, and I was singing another. And after a while, the congregation just stopped singing, and then I had to joke it off and start again.
Nice. What was it? What was the song?
I don't actually remember. It was at a church in Brighton, and I don't actually remember the song. And even if I did, I'm not going to say it.
What was it, a worship song that you were singing, or were you just singing like the wheels on the bus while everyone else was...
No, it was an actual worship song. It was probably like a deep point in worship. You know, like after everyone's warmed up, we're excited, like three songs in. It's like the fourth song, we're just about to go deep calls to deep. You know that moment there? And full on, I was just belting out the lyrics to something completely different. And you know, God's got a sense of humour, don't he? Thank you, Jesus.
Jake, tell us a little about what you've been doing in the last few months. And I know you've been recording some stuff and going out on tour and things like that. So tell us a bit about that.
So, the last 3 months have been pretty hectic. Well, first of all, I had my first child. I had a little boy called Jesse.
He's gorgeous. Yes, he's gorgeous.
He's pretty edible. He's scrumptious. And so I had him in March. And then 2 weeks later, I was out on the road. We did like a 22-day tour across Europe because I just released an album at the beginning of that. The album's called Our Lives. It's a singer-songwriter album. It's out on iTunes and all other online retailers, etc. And so we went out on a tour with all my team, and that was pretty hectic. It was amazing though, incredible turnout. Like things got pretty tricky because the album had to be released later than planned, and so we were a bit nervous that we'd go out on the first day of tour and like no one would be there. We went to Paris and almost 400 people turned up or something like that, and then went to Amsterdam. We had 1,300 people turn up, and the tour dates were just crazy. So it was intense, and I was being a dad on FaceTime. I felt like a bad dad at some points, but. Yeah, God got me. And so we came back from that. Once we were out on that, I then got an email asking if I'd be up for supporting Sir Elton John on his arena tour and stadium tour. So I said, look, I'll think about it. I'm not too sure about this. I thought, let me come back to you. I've got to talk to my people. No, I didn't. I didn't say that at all. I was like, yeah. Like, when we starting?
Do you want to tour with Sir Elton? Yes.
Yeah. That was it. I read half the email actually, and then I just responded. We came back from that tour, and then 3 days later we played Twickenham Stoop opening for Sir Elton, and with the same team, and the people on my team love Jesus, and so we prayed up and just prayed that it would be a blessing, and you kind of it's a big platform, and you know, and there's a sense of being way out your depth. But it's actually when you're away from the boat out on the water, you're closest to Jesus. And we felt God was with us and he endorsed us and he was there for us. And yeah, we did that. And whilst we were out on tour, they added two extra UK dates to Leeds Arena and Birmingham Arena. And then at the end of the Leeds date, we came off stage and And I was in my changing room, I was all sweaty and, you know, top off, just getting trained, getting de-sweated, and then got a knock on the door. I was like, yeah. I was flustered. When door open, I see a glittery jacket. I said, oh my goodness me, it's Sir Elton. He walks in, I'm half naked, I'm covering my torso. And I said, oh, hello, sir, how you doing? He said, don't worry about that, Jay. Are you enjoying yourself? I said, yes, sir. He said, good. You're a good man. I said, cheers, sir. He said, so am I going to see you in Germany? I said, I don't know, sir. Yeah, I'm going to see you in Berlin and Mannheim. And just like that, we were doing the Germany dates. I dare not turn it down. I valued my life. And it was great. It was just so good. And then since coming back, had a few festivals in the UK. And then the next thing we've got is a UK headline tour, 4 dates in September that we were doing. And right now, I'm just enjoying my first ever Faith Camp.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Can I ask you a question, Jake? You're clearly a very anointed man. Right, and you know, when you lead worship, the anointing comes across is just really, really powerful, right? Do you think pop stars can have an anointing but not know it? Do you know what I mean? For example, I love Peter Gabriel and I've seen him, and it's almost he creates an atmosphere when you see him, and it's almost like an anointing.
Music is. I remember what's very clear, I was reading something up on, or I heard something about Bruce Springsteen and back in the day, and I remember praying and talking to the Lord just about some of the bigger pop stars we've got in the world and just their ability to sway people's mind, political stance and hearts. And I remember very clearly feeling God say, you know what, you want to change the world, one of the ways you can do it is through music.
Come on.
Massively. I think music, the thing about music is when you tap in to the heart of a creative strand, I mean, creativity, it's the thing in our DNA which is directly from God. The first thing God does in the Bible is create. It's there, we all have it in us, whether we're saved or not, it's in our DNA. The first thing God does is create, and then he makes a man and he gives man the ability to name and to speak things forth as well. And what I believe that creative DNA is in us all. And so when you have someone who's tapped into their creative DNA, someone like Bruce Springsteen or Ed Sheeran or Michael Jackson, I remember seeing concerts of Michael Jackson where people are falling out on the front row. They're having to get paramedics on the front row because people, the other place I've seen that is in church, you know?
Yeah.
But that, because of the creative nature of God and that ability being in us, when someone taps into that, it can be very powerful. It can be also very dark. There's always two sides to a coin, and I think very clearly that music has the ability to change and to impact people's souls in a very powerful way. So yeah, in answer to your question, I do agree that there's different things on different people in that way.
I know that you're very much a worshipper first and a performer second.
Yeah.
And did you know that you would end up on, you know, being asked by a knight of the realm to come and tour with him? You know, when you first started with that sense of a calling, this is the sphere of influence God's calling me to.
Yeah.
Did you have an aspiration to, you know, to be headlining or you know, to make a name for yourself? Or was it just, you're just being obedient? How did that all work?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. You know what? Even as you're answering the question, I was excited because actually first and foremost, my planned opening for Sir Elton John, actually that was never even on my radar. I didn't set out, I've been doing this 5 years, I didn't set out going, I want to open up for that person or this person. I'm not saying it's not an honour and a privilege, but actually my goal, and the day it changes is the day I just need to come to the altar and repent. My goal is to influence and to sing over the people that don't make it to our church, Alpha Courses, or come to us. That is, and if it happens to be opening up for someone like Sir Elton John, wicked. If it happens to have been opening up for someone like Paul Simon or Sting or I don't know, anyone else, Nicki Minaj, brilliant. You know, there's Francis Assisi once said this, he said, we have to do whatever it takes to preach the gospel and every now and then use words. For me, I believe that points to gifting, that points to singing out over people, that points to serving people and being a blessing. And also, we need to be willing to change the world, not necessarily thousands at a time, but one person at a time. So if I was singing in a pub and that was all the Lord gave me, and I was singing to 10 people every Friday night in my local pub and then hosting the karaoke section of that night for the next 6 years, and that's actually what God wanted me free to do. I better do it with complete surrender, knowing that what I'm bringing is pushing the darkness back. I feel like so often we focus on the platform rather than the promise and the responsibility we have. And you know, we all know too much is given, much is required. And I don't want to be found with my work undone, focusing on what doesn't matter, on what slips away so easily. For me, I don't. It's a privilege, but let me just be really honest, and I can say this to you guys as believers. We're talking like Elton John and opening for Sir Elton is the peak of where the Lord's leading me. No, it's not. In fact, a peak would be being planted in a house and serving as a pastor looking after people's spiritual well-beings. Now, that's what I would call a peak. This is just a part of the process. This is a milestone, opening up for Sir Elton. It's an honour. I see him as like someone and I learned so much from him, from his organisation, from his production team, even from his how he walked on stage, how he came on stage, the authority that man carries. I respect the man. But I also understand what I'm being called to. Do you understand? If I never get to do something like that again, there's so much more for me to do. And there's so much more authority and power to walk in. And I'm excited that I've been able to be a part of Mr. John's journey. And he's been a massive part of mine. But I'm even more excited that I haven't peaked yet. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Love it. Do you know, when he was saying that then, I just wanted like Elgar, Nimrod to be behind that speech then. That was beautiful. Do you know, I hope you're catching the heart of this man. Because when I first met him, he joined us after all this stuff. He's joined a small local church out to one of our satellite Crawley. Congregations at Crawley. And when I first met him and his wife, who was heavily pregnant at the time, were calling up cables. And I thought, wow, this is the heart of the man. Is actually, he wants to serve. And it's absolutely stunning. Can I ask one last question, Jake, for me? What about you? You're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Your songs are great. I love them. But can you talk a little bit about lyrical content and what that achieves?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, there is we have to be very clear that lyrical content obviously changes depending on the context. Jesus didn't teach the same way he taught in the temple as he did in the marketplace. In the temple, it was very much from the laws. It was very much from a theological point of view, based on the direct history and what God's done in the past and what he's saying now. It was teaching. Whereas in the marketplace, God would tell stories. The reason why he would tell stories is because first and foremost, I believe the Lord was showing us in order to disciple someone, you need to start from a place of relationship. And relationship starts from a point of relating to people. So when I write songs for the marketplace, I write songs about love, life, hope and death, because I want to relate to people and go, listen, I'm saved. Yeah, I love Jesus, whether you know that or not. But first and foremost, I live life just like you. It's just I choose to respond in this way. And I'm hoping it encourages you and it causes you to ask questions and sow seeds. And then when I'm in the temple, when I'm in the house of God, when I'm in Bethel, I write songs which exalt God and cause people to fix their eyes on Jesus. And that might be a place of sometimes in songs you can start songs and write songs from the I exalt you, or I look, fix my eyes on you, or I want to be where you are, or you can talk in the plural and you can say we have come here gathered in your presence and lifting up the name of Jesus. It's important whether you start from a position of I or from we, that the end result is always Yahweh, is always him. I love what we heard yesterday by Miss Karen, just about seeing the glory of the Father in the Son. I feel like actually that is the way it goes when you come to writing songs in the house. And I think it's also important to encapsulate everything about the glory of the Son in our songs. So not just we have a whole book, we have an Old Testament and a New Testament. I feel like actually when you're writing songs, it's important to pull out different themes from both sides of both testaments, because it all reflects the character and the heart of God. In the same way, it's important to pull out things from love, life, hope and death, not just the good times and the bad times in the marketplace, so that people can identify with you, and then you can take them on a journey. So songwriting in both things has to be in detail, and it has to be holistic and not biased. And that's how I kind of see my songs. I want to relate to people, develop relationship, and hopefully by God's grace sow seeds for discipleship.
That's great. You mentioned earlier about when you get crowds of people maybe falling over, when they're almost basically worshiping a pop star, they're making an idol of that person. And God's evidently called you into this whole world, and to be part part of it, to be in it, but not of it.
Yeah.
And how do you resist that temptation? When you maybe have got people who don't realise the message you're carrying, who are going, Jake, I love you. It's all about you. Yeah. How do you maintain a humble heart? Because this would apply for worship leaders in church as well. Sure. You know, that sense of the temptation to take glory for yourself. How do you maintain that integrity? Because you are such a man of integrity.
Sure.
How do you maintain that in that atmosphere of... We all know of people, you know, like whether it's Britney Spears or Justin Bieber, who a little bit of their story of when they first kind of were launched into the limelight, really, and coming from a Christian heritage and background, and yet so quickly seeing them, their lives changed and affected by what's going on around them. How do you maintain that integrity in the face of all of that?
That's a really good question. You know, I'll start by saying this. Jesus didn't do what he did on his own. He was surrounded by 12 disciples, 12 people who were close and could see everything when people are around and when they weren't around. Who you surround yourself with can often determine what you can get away with. And I'm not saying that Jesus was going to get away with madness, but what I'm saying is there's an example there. A leader, someone who came to the earth, brought about change, influence, global influence and change from one particular area of the earth, surrounded himself with people that he could influence, but also people that he could be transparent in front of. I think the same thing applies for me. My whole team love the Lord simply because I just need to know that when I'm out there and we're chilling in a hotel, I'm not doing something bonkers. I'm not on the devil's talcum powder, if you understand what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? That's going up, all going up my nose. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's important. It's important that I place people around me who can go, listen, you're out of order here, or what are you doing here, or this isn't right for you. You know, I think it's important to surround yourself first and foremost. Secondly, I don't believe, now hear me and hear the heart in which I'm saying this. We as people who are walking out and stepping out of a boat and living for Jesus and walking on water, doing the impossible, called in his kingdom, we are not a bastard generation. I believe having fathers to look over you and to speak into your life and if necessarily tell you about yourself when you're out of order is crucial. We are not a part of a generation who are reckless, who just because we have an anointing feel that we are entitled to do what we want. Absolutely. We are under order. God is a God of order. You understand? It's in the same way Jesus would say, I only do what I see my Father doing. I think it's important that we enact and do the same thing when whatever the stage. We might, and hear me, everything I'm saying, please understand, I really want you to understand it applies not just to music. If you're a banker, listen, the stories I've heard of bankers, sometimes people think just because musicians in your profile, that is one. Listen, bankers, politicians, there's a world. Listen, whenever there's money, whenever there's power and influence, you might get promotion working in I don't know, HR. Wherever there's power and influence, there's more scope to get away with things that you might not do. It's up to you as an individual to place yourself under the accountability of people who can pull you up. You understand? And then finally, a crucial thing is prayer. Jesus always got away on his own. I've found the older I get, the more I'm going, I need more time. I need more time with him. Why? The busier I get, the more I should find time to be away. Jesus did it so splendidly. Those three things, accountability, having the right people around you, being accountable and having being under the leadership and stewardship and having people who can look over you and cover you spiritually, in particularly. And thirdly, prayer. In fact, prayer should probably be first, if I'm honest. Those three things are what keep me from letting stuff get to my head. And also having a wife who tells me about myself every now and then.
That's great. I was going to ask you as a final question, if there was somebody who felt like that God was calling them into that sphere, into that area of influence in the music world, what would be your best tip for them? But actually hearing that how to maintain integrity sounds like there's nothing big. But if there was some person who said, I feel this is what God is calling me into, is there one other nugget that you could share just to help them? Firstly, to maintain their character and maintain their focus, but also just practically, how can you start to get your songs out there? How can you start to find that influence in your pub, maybe, or you know, what's the first step on that journey? Or what was it for you?
Sure, I honestly believe Jesus was a carpenter. That was his first thing, but I reckon he was probably one of the best carpenters around.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Paul was a tent maker. Is that I reckon he's probably one of the best tent makers around. Yeah. If you want to talk about stepping out, develop your craft. My dad once said to me, when I started doing this, I've been doing it for not long now, but my dad said, listen, if you're going to go out there and do this, in the same way as a worship leader, you sought to watch the people who God's on and are really strong at what they do. You need to understand you're not dealing and just walking shoulders next to your peers. You need to be looking at the best singer-songwriters out there. The Ed Sheerans and the people. He's probably one of the biggest artists we have in the world right now as a singer-songwriter with a guitar. You need to be looking at that standard and going, what is it that he does that I'm not doing? Because actually God's calling me to learn from that and then also be set apart. He's calling me to be holy in that and go above and beyond and do it on purpose to bring about glory of Jesus Christ in the people that I'm singing over. So I think understanding, knowing and developing your craft and also being set apart, again, it comes back to the prayer thing and those three other points I left. Though a combination of those, and actually that falls in again in scripture, faith and works. Faith being first and the works, developing your craft, also being right up there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this special worship podcast. Oh, and just great to hear from someone who's walking out their faith and walking out what it means to be a worshiper, not in a church context or not just in a church context, which is what we're often talking about, but taking all of those things, that heart and that mentality and that understanding of who God is and what worship for, and it's for him, taking that message out into the world is great to hear and a real challenge and a real encouragement. So thanks you so much for...
Thanks for having me.
It's been great. But if you have got any questions, maybe, I don't know, even for Jake, then please feel free to write in to colin.squires@kingdomfaith.com
or pete.norman@kingdomfaith.com.
And if you'd like to know more about why are we here at Faith Camp, what's Faith Camp all about, maybe you never heard of it before, you can check out www.kingdomfaith.com and find out about all that's going on at Faith Camp. And maybe even if you've never been before, like Jake, make next year your first time.
Come on.
Have you enjoyed Faith Camp, Jake?
I have.
You've heard it from the man himself. Yeah. Get yourself here. And we'll see you again soon with Kingdom Faith Worship Podcast.